Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
That show is coming up on its 10th anniversary.
So we are so proud to continue to have authors like yourself, Bernard, and others to continue with their books' voices because, you know, people can read a book and put it down, but when you go on the air and when you make yourself available and tell people about your writing journey and how you got to be where you are, that keeps the interest and hopefully helps to garner even more exposure for you and for us. And so with that being said, I want everyone to know that my books, Gumbo for the Soul, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, Here's Our Child, Where's the Village, Women of Honor, and also Men of Honor are available at gumboforthesoulinternational.com. And you can also reach out to me if you want to begin your writing journey. I feel that everyone has a story to tell, but who will you trust to tell yours? Now, with that being said, and with our guest holding and ready like I am, sit back, relax, and prepare to enjoy. Mr. Bernard N. Lee Jr., I'm going to call you Bernard, if that's all right. Can you tell me and our listeners what motivated you to become an author? And like I said, you've been on the show before, and, you know, our audience is, you are no stranger to our audience. So I kind of want to bring out some things that we may not have learned in the previous shows. So share some things with us that you have not shared, because we are entering, closing out this season, and I want to make sure I get everything out of you. So now, what motivated you to become an author?
I'm the oldest son of a military serviceman who was in the Army. My mother and my sister motivated me to write. My mother wrote poetry, and she wrote articles for her church, which would be published in the quarterly magazines that the church would issue. My sister wrote poetry, and she wrote plays, and she would perform those for the church once again. I began very early, and here's what I believe. I believe that writers can become authors if they put their words down, if they capture them. I believe that authors and writers are born, but really good authors are nurtured. My mother did a great job of that. When we were children, we played word games. We would rhyme. Fat, cat, sat, hat. And the game would go on and on and on with each person giving a word until they missed, and the last person standing was the one who had the last word. That helped me.
I love it.
Well, it was great. That helped me to collect in my head a huge, huge vocabulary of words that rhymed. From that, we wrote poetry. And we would share those short poems with each other over the dinner table, in the evening, before we went to bed. And that helped me get started.
Let me ask you this before you go on to that, because I've got so many questions. I want to make sure that I get them all in. So you began writing that early, and I was going to ask you how many books have you published, but now I want to know, at what age is this that you begin writing the poetry? What age are we talking now for you?
I began writing poetry at 8 or 9 years old. I began performing mm-hmm. poetry and performing in church at 8, 9, 10 years old. We went to I was a Baptist, and we went to Baptist Training Union. It was in the evenings after the main church, and it was a young people's church, meaning the young people conducted that service. And so we would be asked to stand up and recite Bible verses. And then in time, if we wrote something ourselves, we could present that, and that's what I did.
Oh, okay. That's amazing, amazing. Now, how do you, as the adult now, how many books have you published? Because I want to know, how do you come up with your ideas for your books? You have, what's the name of your book currently that people can pick up?
A Look Back in Time, Memoir of a Military Kid in the 50s. I have volume one, and I published volume two. I am three quarters of the way to writing volume three. The book is a four-book series, and volume four will end with my life in college in the 60s.
Wow, in college in the 60s. Okay.
Yeah.
Have I introduced you to Mr. Joseph Jackson of the Tougaloo Nine yet?
Yes, you have. And
just want to make sure because, you know, I'm big on making sure that everyone kind of, you know, touches bases with each other. And so when you mention college in the 60s, I got to make sure that, you know, okay, because now that resonates for me with the 1961 Tougaloo Nine. So you have a four-part memoir sums up in the 60s when you enter college. That is fascinating. So you will have four books to your credit and more poems than you can probably remember from being a child. How do you come up with the ideas for your book? Your books. I know memoirs are about our lives, but when you actually sit down and begin to write, what resonates the most? What angle are you looking for to convey to your readers?
Well, I'm a nonfiction writer, and that means that you want to understand the area that you're going to write about. In fact, for any writer, where you really want to start is with something that you're passionate about, something that you're knowledgeable about, something that you have some interest in, some background in, have done some reading in, and you just believe you have a unique way that you might be able to share that with readers. In the case of my writing, my memoir, it's the stories told from memory. That's another good way to begin as a writer. Collect stories from memory, collect stories that you can recall others have told you, and then put those down in an outline. The outline doesn't have to be from top to bottom. It doesn't have to be chronicle in chronology. You don't want to make that tight. Just put down stories. Just put down as many as you can think of. Put down as many incidents as you can think of, as many areas you might want to cover, as many people you might want to include. Just put that information down. And then the next thing you do is you have to put together a plan. What do you expect to accomplish in this particular body of work? Don't tackle the whole thing at once. That's why I did a series. There are only 200 and some pages in a 9x6 paperback, and most people aren't ready to read much more than that. So you don't have too many chapters. You don't have too many.
You know, and I chuckle because you're spot on. So that's why I chuckle, because you're spot on. You know, the attention span of people is about 200 pages. You know, they may complain if it's only 100 pages. You know, they may say this isn't a book, but it depends on what's inside. 200 pages, you're doing good. You're doing good. And so I suggest, you know, 200, 250. I would go as far as 300, depending on, you know, what the content is. And for me, I'm about nonfiction as well. I'm a nonfiction reader. However, as a publisher, I delve in different genres that come with, you know, the business. However, my main focus is nonfiction and health and wellness. So what are some of the challenges you faced as a writer? You gave some very good suggestions for those of us that are also on the writing journey. But as for Bernard, what are some of the challenges you face as a writer?
Well, I can pat myself on the back now that I've done two books, but let me tell you what it took to do that. I began in the early 80s and put together an outline, and I wrote about 56 pages longhand with a pencil and paper. I put that work away because I got busy. I did not take up that work again until I had retired 32 years later.
Wait a minute. Stop right there. because I want you to fill in the meat after you answer this next question. Are there things you would do differently?
Actually, in this case, I could not have written that book then. My heart wasn't in it. I did not have the time. And I would not have written the same book that I wrote 32 years later had I started and finished that piece of work then. I was looking.
So you would not have done anything differently?
I would have written a different book. It would have been a different book in
tone.
It would have been a different book in perspective. I was too young at the time to write a reflective book about my life.
You know what? I am glad you're expounding in this manner, because for first-time writers, novice, and veterans, just know that your flow will dictate itself. So just like the suggestions that you were given earlier about don't get that tight, just write, I cannot employ enough and put even more emphasis on that, is to be in your flow. So like you said, it would have been a different book. And since you weren't in your flow, when you put it down, when you first started it, you planted the seed. Then you live the journey. Okay? The roots were growing. Now, when you get to it 30 years later, what did you have what made you bring it back out? What made you return to that book?
I had perspective 32 years later. I also had a mission that I then understood, and therefore understood my audience. I wanted to write the family history in a way that it would be interesting and entertaining, and I wanted to write it so that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews, would be able to read it, because we usually pass along family history word of mouth. But now that we're dispersed, we don't all live in the same town. We don't all live in the same county. We don't stay where we were born as often as we used to. It's harder to do that word of mouth. So I wanted to be certain that all of my family dispersed would be able to read the family history and would know about their ancestors.
Okay, so now I am so glad that you are a legacy builder and believe in making sure that the gems are here so that those coming after you can build from there and shine in their oneness with who they are as a reflection of who you are. And speaking of reflections, you know, it must be nice to experience having the French fry fed to you from your grandson in your picture on Facebook. I think that beautiful.
That picture
I think it's just beautiful.
Yes, that picture was a treasure.
And you know what? A treasure, you said?
Yes, that picture was a treasure, because I can tell you, a young boy doesn't really like to share his French fries. So that he shared him was a treasure.
Just that you even got some of his, you know, well, he's a meat and potatoes man. So, you know, hey, you didn't get his meat, but you got some of the potatoes. And, you
That's
know,
right.
I remember my daughter climbing all the way downstairs to come bring me a French fry across the living room where I sat, and going all the way back across the living room, climbing all the way back up the stairs, going back up, and she was going to my father's bedroom, eating off of his plate, and she was climbing those stairs. She was like two. So, you know, I let her do her thing, you know, I watched her up the stairs and let her do her thing, and, you know, but it was just amazing. So I love those precious memories and moments. And so you decided that to revisit the book that you had tucked away 30 years prior, you were going to dust it off and make sure
and
that you left and complete it. Now, during the 30 years that it lied tucked away, did it nag at you at all that, oh, man, I got to, you know, some things can sit in the chest in the closet and nag you every day for years.
Yes, it
Somebody did. Somebody got that story somewhere. Yes. Oh, it did? Okay.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And in fact, the busier I became and the more responsibilities I took on, the more I long to be able to just take the time, sit, and write. But I understood that I wouldn't be able to do it and do it well if I took just bits and pieces at that time. And then I needed perspective. I needed to become older, wiser. I needed to experience some things. I needed to reflect on some things that at the time I did not fully understand. So everyone doesn't have to approach writing that way. And in fact, my second book, I began in 2017. I began in 2014 and finished in 2017. It took me two plus years to write it and about a year to get it edited and published. So it and this book that I'm working on now, I begin in 2018. And I'll be finished next year. So it's gone from 32 years to 3 years to 2.5 years. So it gets easier as you write.
And you know you're right. The wisdom has now matriculated through experiences that has built wisdom in your life. And so through those experiences, we are able to reflect and bring forth wisdom because we make it through our trials and errors and the ebb and flow of life. And that does make for a better writer. When you've gone through something, you got something to write about. Oh, keep living. For those of you that have writer's block, just keep living. You got something to write about. Now, how important do you think it is to engage your readers? And that's going to be the last question before we take our first commercial break. How important do you think it is to engage your readers?
It's very, very important. You must first know who your readers are. You have to know who's likely to read your work, who's likely to enjoy your work, who can identify with the stories that you're telling, with the places that you've been, with the adventures that you want to share. And once you've determined who those persons are, then you have to find them. I say find your people. You have to go where they are. You have to participate in activities they participate in. You have to get to know them so that as you write, you can write for them and not always for yourself. And that's how writers get to be successful at actually selling the work that they write. You can write a book for yourself. It can be a great book. It can be really well written. But it might not resonate with the readers you thought were your people. And so it may sit there. You can write a book that others are really interested in reading about, and that's what people who write for a living usually do. You have to get that book out a little bit quicker because topics tend to come and go. So you have to, you know, strike while the iron is hot and get that book out. But if you can do that, and if you can write for the audience because you spend time with them, you read what they read, you learn about them, you listen to them, you ask questions, you interview them, You do all your work and then you write. If you can do that, then you can be successful at selling what you write because you're writing for those who want to read.
Profound, profound. That's that wisdom. That's that experience, like you said, now that you do have, you know, several books under your belt. And so let's go ahead and brace for a commercial. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to A Book Is Born with my guest, Mr. Bernard N. Lee Jr. You are live on Tribe Family Channel. I'm Beverly Black, and this is brought to you by Gumbo for the Soul International. And I just want to encourage everyone to visit our website where you can connect with me if you are looking for a publisher. We'll be right back after this message.
Need a speaker for your next event, conference, or church service?
Dr. Maxine Bryan may be available to come to speak from her wealth of experience and knowledge on multiple topics. A licensed minister, Dr. Maxine Bryan draws upon God-given communication talents and gifts and combines proven instructional design techniques and award-winning presentation style to inspire and instruct, educate and enlighten, plan, promote, and problem solve, and embrace participants in an exhilarating experience. Call Pat Moss at 612-876-7964 to find out how and how much more you can get when you arrange for Dr. Bryan to come speak at your next event.
I know building a website can be intimidating, but you need a place where your audience can connect with you. Instead of fighting with technology, try the easiest, most flexible website builder available. With templates for all types of websites, ranging from landing pages to e-commerce, Urban Book Editor's platform makes creating an author website quick and easy. Just add a section, upload your photos and videos, type your text, and you're in business. It couldn't be easier. And if you sign up for an annual plan, you can get 10% off the first year. Just use discount code FIRSTYEAR. That's 1-STYEAR. The number 1-STYEAR in all caps. Take advantage of the 14-day free trial. No credit card is needed. Visit urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website from the menu bar at the top of the page. No more struggling with technology. No more paying a small fortune to developers. Create beautiful websites without learning to code. Spend more time writing and less time worrying about your website. Just go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website. You'll see how easy it is to build a great website to showcase your work. Go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website today.
Welcome back live to A Book Is Born on Tribe Family Channel. I am your host, Beverly Black, and this is a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. We are brought to you from our home on the web at www.gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. So be sure to visit us and start your writing journey. Now, Mr. Bernard N. Lee Jr. is our guest, and he is sharing his writing journey with us. But now, before you became a writer, you had to have become a reader. Who are some of your favorite authors, Mr. Bernard Lee? Who are some of your favorite authors?
As you might guess, I like to write. I like to read memoirs. I like to read true stories, autobiographies and biographies. And then I like to read nonfiction by writers that are good. I read My Beloved World by Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. That was a really good book. She's a person that people have seen but may not know very much about. I read Voices and Silences by acclaimed actor James Earl Jones. It told me a lot about James Earl Jones. He is not only a really good actor, he is a studied, learned actor who is always, always practicing his craft. In fact, that's maybe 90% of his life. And if you spend any time with him, that's where you'll have to spend it. I read Extraordinary Ordinary People by former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. I was intrigued by the fact that she studied Russian in college, and I wondered why somebody would go in that direction. What I realized was her father spent years becoming a polished reader and writer himself so that he could be within the university environment, and that challenged her to challenge herself to take on difficult topics. I have read The Beautiful Struggle, a memoir by Ta-Nehisi Coates, Born a Crime by Trevor Noah, and a memoir called Bad Boy by the author who taught me how to write, Walter Dean Myers, who lives in Jersey City, New Jersey, and wrote a book called Just Write, Here's How.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know, and I am encouraging my partners and guests and business associates to start releasing their book list. I had Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. of the Tougaloo Nine on the air Thursday last evening, but when he and I spoke a few days ago, he ran down 22 books that's currently on his list, and I challenged him to provide that list to me because, you know, we have very fascinating rice conversations, just as the one we're having here, and you really named some intriguing people and titles. So I would be encouraged to know your list, and I would encourage others to begin to share what you're reading with, you know, your social media platforms so that we can all be enlightened. Now, what inspires you to write? These next questions, you may have touched on some of the answers in previous dialogue, but what I also, you know, want to get at is not only what inspires you to write, but when you don't feel like writing, what then are some of the methods that you use to get over, you know, that bump in the road? So first, what inspires you, and then what pushes you when you run into any roadblocks?
I was inspired to write with the mission of sharing history for our family. And I found that the stories that I compiled were interesting enough that others wanted to read them. And from that point forward, I began to write so that I'd have a broader audience. I'm a military brat, meaning a military kid. I traveled around the United States and Europe with my dad, and I wrote stories from those travels. So I have a large audience of military kids who have traveled with their parents and people who spent their time in the military and are in the military now. And that's my audience. That's my target. Some of them are baby boomers in their 70s and late 60s now. And some of them are younger, 20s, 20-somethings and teens, because those stories are about a young boy in the 50s and 60s, and so you can learn a lot about being a youngster and how to navigate, especially in a world where you are always the newest kid in town.
Amazing, amazing. Now, what methods do you use if you don't feel like writing? What happens if you don't get inspired on a particular... Okay, because, you know, we all have deadlines when we have... projects in queue. And so if you're pressed towards, you know, feeling like your deadline is squeezing in, how do you move through that?
I take a break, and I call it a writing vacation. It doesn't have to be very long, but in my mind I have to tell myself I'm taking a break. I read. I work out. I'll go play golf or some other activity. I'll spend time with the grandchildren, and and once you get into their world, you're having lots of fun, and you forget all about all the challenges that may be in your world. And so those are the things that I do. I also find that you do not want, unless someone is paying you to finish a project, you do not want to hurry your writing. In fact, according to Walter D. Myers, he can write better if he writes a 20-page story and he writes it five times rather than writing all 20 at once. So what he does is he writes pieces. He writes in parts. He doesn't have a problem if he has to stop. And, in fact, what I do is I write 2 to 3 pages a week. Now, there's some weeks where I'll write 10 pages, but that just makes up for the weeks where I may only write 1. And I keep myself on a schedule by knowing how many chapters I have to complete my project. So normally I'm going to have 20 chapters. There's 10 pages per chapter. That's about 200 pages. So I look at a story which is 10 pages long, and I take it apart at a time. I take a couple of pages, maybe this month. I may write 4 pages next month. I know how many pages I have to write to finish the chapter. So I can gauge how well I'm doing by how many chapters I have left and how much time I've allocated for that project. There are some writers who only write 1 or 2 books in a lifetime. And they are read by people many, many, many years after they've left this earth. And so if you want to be that person, then don't be pushed or challenged by the fact that you have a little block today or a little block yesterday or maybe a block for a whole week. That's not the process. The process is getting the best from yourself when you're feeling the best about yourself. And you can do that when you're relaxed and when you're not pressed. So don't let your writing press you. And don't let your worries in the world press you. Be okay with you. You're an okay person. Be okay with you. Be okay with the time that it takes. And then let your writing flow.
Very, very, very good advice. Very good advice, ladies and gentlemen, live on Chad Family Channel, Mr. Bernard N. Lee, going over his writing journey with us on A Book Is Born. I'm Beverly Black, and I am so honored to hear his writing journey. Now, Mr. Bernard, I do have some more questions, and this is just very enlightening. Do you write full time now? And if so, how long have you done this? If not, what's your day job?
My day job is I teach chess to 36 kids in middle school and high school in an academy that's here in Conyers, Georgia. I teach chess to an after-school class of about 16 to 20 kids, third, fourth, and fifth grade. I have a number of other activities that I participate in. And I don't write full-time. I write partially, part-time, because I have a schedule. My schedule is to complete my book in 2020. I know it takes me about a half a year to actually have that book edited. And you, by the way, you had my editor on. Michelle Verard is my editor. She's really, really good. In fact, when our book was evaluated, I always call it our book, because she laughs, she says it's mine. When our book was evaluated by and reviewed in Publishers Weekly, she received all fives for the sections and the work she did. I received some fives and a few fours, and so I laugh. I claim she's perfect, and I know I'm not.
Michelle is the bee's knees, ladies and gentlemen. She is the CEO of Urban Book Editor LLC, and she is a sponsor of Tribe Family Channel. So you want to make sure that you visit her website, urbanbookeditor.com, and she will be also available via michelleberard.com. That's Michelle with one L, michelleberard.com. Now, let me ask you this. So, and that's fascinating that you teach chess. My father, rest in paradise, taught my brother and I chess, and he also taught my four children chess. And it is a game that is definitely made for helping build patience and critical thinking and analyzing, and it certainly helps with life skills that you would not have any idea applicable to, you know, our youth today, just mastering their emotions and, again,
yes,
critical thinking. So I want to salute you for being there and being a champion for our youth in that regard. I think that's fascinating. And you are so right. You know, the structure that one can create the greatest productivity out of themselves is definitely to be admired. You know, hearing you say that you, you know, you take 10 chapters or 20 chapters, 10 pages, and, you know, you go for it. So I admire the structure and the discipline and the pacing and just knowing that it takes time to create, and you definitely want to give yourself time. You don't want to feel like this is something that it's definitely not get rich quick, if it's get rich at all, but it's definitely something that you want to be true to the craft and not looking at it from an angle of employment or, you know, something that has you bogged down that, you know, like you said earlier, unless you write for a living and have these types of deadlines and, you know, crunch times, and there are those that do. But again, anytime you're faced with the struggle of writing, you can always walk away from it for a bit and reset. And that's why I heard you describe in, you know, walking away and going to do something else and playing with the grandkids and, you know, forgetting about, you know, what was, you know, the challenge at the time for that particular task. So now, what one piece of advice would you give an aspiring or first time writer? That one piece of advice. What would that be?
Don't edit your work as you write. Don't waste time, especially if you're very, very good in English and language. If you've even studied journalism, don't edit your work while you write. It takes time away from the creative effort. In fact, what you want to believe is that you can edit some, but ultimately, if you want to have a work that people not only enjoy reading, but that critics, when they review it, think enough of it to award you with the prizes that people receive when they've done good work, then it's going to have to be professionally edited. So you don't edit your work yourself. If you want to be taken seriously, you have someone to edit it for you, not even a doctor diagnoses and prescribes for himself or herself. So you don't do that as a writer either. You have another person who's really good at that and is professionally good at that, and they do that for you. By the way, my book, too, of A Look Back in Time, Memoir of a Military Kid in the 50s, is it takes place in Germany. And the 3 years that I spent in Germany there in the 8th grade, 9th grade, and 10th grade. And that book has received a top shelf award. And that book has received a best book award finalist in young adult nonfiction and military history nonfiction.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, congratulations, and we're going to have you read an excerpt in just a bit. But I want to go back to your answer with the best piece of advice that you can give a writer. And you know what? You hit that target on the bullseye. I was shocked, but you know what? That was the bullseye. Ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel, A Book is Born, Bernard N. Lee Jr., my guest. And I'm honored to just have you here and to hear your journey. And we're about to hear you read an excerpt. But the greatest thing that you could do as a writer is just flow. Don't write and edit at the same time. And especially, you know, people with backgrounds in journalism, turn it over, release it, let it go, you know. And you, as a publisher, I know when I'm dealing with someone that's, you know, critical about that baby to the point where, you know, they're not writing. They're writing, editing, not writing, not right now. We're, you know, affecting the flow, and it's just, you know, because writing is it's like a river. If you allow it to flow, it will flow, and it will flow well. And then you can worry about the edits after. So greatest piece of advice you could have given our audience. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and hear an excerpt from your book, Mr. Bernard Lee Jr., on A Book is Born, live on Tribe Family Channel.
Hey, guys, it's me, Michelle Berard, host of Somewhere in the Middle and founder and CEO of Urban Book Editor, LLC. Are you feeling like you're stuck and can't move forward? Have you been struggling to birth a big goal like a book or a business? Are you feeling overwhelmed and looking to make changes in your career? If you're at all like me, when that deer in headlights feeling hits you, you just don't know where to begin. Yeah, you can talk with friends or family, but when you're in need of an objective opinion, it helps to speak with someone who's prepared to listen and to provide practical guidance to help you move forward. That's where a coach comes in. That's why I'm so excited to share with you that energy worker and coach Julia Black and I have teamed up to help you get unstuck and start moving towards your goals again. And to make it easy for you, we're offering a complimentary call with one of us to help you start moving forward. All you have to do is go to WeRiseMovement.com to schedule your free insight and inspiration call with either Julia or me. The insight and inspiration call can help you get clear about your goals, uncover hidden challenges that may be hindering your progress, discover steps you can take today to move toward accomplishing your goals, and you'll leave the session feeling renewed, re-energized, and inspired to take action. Visit WeRiseMovement.com and schedule your free insight and inspiration call today. That's WeRiseMovement.com.
Welcome back to A Book is Born, live on Tribe Family Channel. I'm your host, Beverly Black, and my guest, Mr. Bernard N. Lee Jr., is going to read us an excerpt from his book. Bernard, tell us the name of your book, and go ahead and on the mic.
The book's name is A Look Back in Time, Memoir of a Military Kid in the 50s. This is from volume 2, which took place as we were traveling to Germany. I'd like to read the poem that I put in the beginning of the book. If you knew your light was dimming, but had memories left to share, would you take the time to write them or wonder who would care? If you found your past was fading and your present fleeting too, Would you capture it for those you love, as I have tried to do? I have lived in many places. I have traveled far and wide, serving God beside my country with honor and with pride. I was here for precious moments. Very soon I will be gone. So I choose to share my memories, knowing they will linger on. That began a story of our family traveling from New York, which is currently the LaGuardia Air Base in New York, to Germany. I tried to block out the negative thoughts. I had survived more than one perilous situation. One rainy day in Oklahoma, I had crawled out from under an armored personnel carrier when I should have been mangled just as severely as my bicycle was. Would I be that fortunate if death stalked me again? Would I be that foolish to place myself in jeopardy to find out? I hope not. I needed a fresh start, one with a clean slate. I was looking forward to getting my chance at the end of our journey to the other side of the world. We were on our way to Dad's new assignment in Europe. I knew this move was different. I would never be the same person once I reached the distant shore. My entire world would be colored by all the new experiences that awaited me, which were far beyond any small boy's imagination. It would not be the only time I would ever travel beyond the shores of the U.S. of A. It was, however, my first time, and for a military brat in the 1950s, that would make all the difference.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Kudos to you, kudos to your family and your readers, your audience, the recipients of such a wonderful work. And I really love the poem in the beginning to begin your book. I want to commend you on the awards that you've received. I'm sure there's many more to come. And thank you so much for being here with us on A Book is Born. My final question before you let our audience know where they can reach you would be, how many continents and where has your travels taken you? As a military brat, as an adult, you know, describe your travels and where are the many places that you've gone?
As a military brat, and I described these travels in book one and two, we lived in Maryland, Virginia, Georgia twice. We lived in Augusta, and my dad was at Fort Benning and Fort Gordon. We lived in Texas, in El Paso. We lived in Lawton, Oklahoma twice. We lived in Kansas. We lived in Germany. I lived in Ansbach, Germany. I went to school in Nuremberg, Germany, and we lived there for 3 years before we came back. I've gone to school in Washington, D.C. at Howard University, and I spent time when I was working with AT&T on trips out of the country. I went to France twice a year. I went to Sao Paulo in Brazil. I went to Hong Kong. I've been to Canada, parts that are just like New York and San Francisco, and then out on the west coast of Canada in the parts that are very rugged. So I've had a very good life traveling. I've been to Hawaii. I've been to England. I've been to Norway. I've been to Sweden. I have not been to Italy. And so I still got places to go.
Have you been to Africa?
My daughter has been, but I have not.
All right now. You know, that's funny. My daughter has also, and I have not. So that is very interesting. Your travels are amazing. Your story is even more amazing. So everyone, be sure to go out and grab Bernard N. Lee Jr.'s book. Tell everyone where they can grab your book, the title, your website, your social media platforms and even your purchasing information so that they can get your book. And again, Bernard, thank you so very much for being here and for dropping, you know, the gems about your writing journey and giving us the real, real 411. So thank you so much again.
Well, thank you, Beverly. My book can be found at www.Bernard, BernardLeeJr.com. You can also find a phone number on there for me. You can send me an email at Bernie, BERNIE, at BernardLeeJr.com. I'm on Facebook, and you can go to my fan page, which is facebook.com/BernardMemoirLee, I believe it's .com. And you can probably send me something on LinkedIn or on Twitter, but I don't use those platforms that often.
But they will see you there. Thank you so much, Mr. Bernard and Lee Jr. And I want to say from my family to yours, have a very happy Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. This has been A Book Is Born on Gumbo for the Soul, on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand created by yours truly, Beverly Black. And I am signing off this first season of A Book Is Born, and we will return January 2020. I want to thank all of our guests, you, Mr. Bernard N. Lee Jr., for being here and taking out your time and availing your talents to our listeners. And I also want to shout out a couple of people that will be on next season, and that is Denise August. Her book was not quite ready to leave the production floor, and so we will have her on next season. Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, one of the Two Blue Nine, will also be joining us next year. I want to shout out to Mr. J. Elliott Howard for being one of our guests, as well as Sister Charlotte Farrell and Ms. Tammy Hobson, and also a shout out to Mr. Earl Sewell. We hope that we'll have you on next season. But again, thank you, Mr. Bernard N. Lee Jr., for being here with us on A Book Is Born, and we hope to have you on again soon. You have a blessed and, again, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Beverly?
Yes.
Hello. You can also find my book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at independent bookstores. And you have a happy Thanksgiving, too.
That sounds great. Thank you. Our listeners needed that information. Be sure to go out and get your copy. And then he has book 3 and 4 that's still forthcoming. So congratulations again on the accolades that you've received on the awards. And I'm looking forward to this 4-book series. Have a blessed one and good night.
Happy birthday, yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
It's a blessing to be with the friends.